right, I know that voice.
Who would we know that voice from?
Kathy Richardson in the studio with us. What song is this?
This is Can't Stop Time from the new Macrodots album. Newish.
I love
the latest.
I love it. I love you. You have played all around Chicago. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
You've had many carnations or
reincarnations.
Yeah. And right now,
sometimes carnations. I remember Kathy used to sell flowers on the corner. We'd buy carnations from her. I remember
and carnation
that.
Instant milk
right?
as well.
Yeah.
And right now, you've been in Jefferson Airplane and now Jefferson Starship. I don't know. Take us along the chronology of that.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been in Jefferson Starship for the past 8.5 years or so. And I recently performed with some of the surviving members of Jefferson Airplane when they received their Lifetime Achievement Award at the Grammys. It wasn't at the it was its own special concert called Grammy Salute, and Grace asked me to sing for her because she doesn't sing anymore, but she was there to accept the award. And so I sang Somebody to Love with Jack Cassidy and Jorma Kaukinen.
Oh my god.
And
Grace Slick asked you to sing. Are you still? That's just wild.
It's really wild. I mean, it's such a trip. I can't even. I mean, it's just, you know, when you're a kid, you like, you know, I had dreams of being a rock star and stuff, but I loved Grace Slick. She was one of my heroes. I never dreamed in a million years that I would be in the band, you know, and that she would be sitting there watching me, cheering me on and, you know, encouraging. She's come out to see a couple of Jefferson Starship shows recently. And it's just been so, so amazing to have her support. And she, you know, she doesn't sing anymore, but she still loves the music. So
why did she choose? It's her decision to not sing anymore. Is she just not able to hit the notes? What's going on?
I don't know. I think she said, you know, she wanted to retire. She didn't, you know, back in the day, she didn't think that that people over 40 should be playing rock and roll music.
Oh.
It was, you know, it was
boy,
young
was
people's.
She wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's, you know, but she's kind of softened on that now. She says, well, that's just me. That's just, I don't, you know, she's kind of like been there, done that. Next,
yeah.
You know, she's
and
enjoying.
She's an artist now.
Yeah, enjoying her retirement. She paints. She's got a beautiful house in Malibu. And it's, you know, she's just enjoying her.
Sure.
Her years.
I bet she misses it, though. She has to miss it.
I'm sure she does. But she came to she came to a show. She was sitting right in the front row, and we
heckling?
Started.
I hope she wasn't heckling.
She was leaning over. She was listening very intently. She was. She even ran to the sound man at one point and told him to turn up David Freiberg's vocal.
Oh wow,
it's hilarious. And but she was, you know, we start playing White Rabbit, the opening, you know, dun-ga-dun-ga-dun, and I'm like, this is weird. Like Grace Slick is sitting, and I looked at her. I was like, Do you wanna do this? And she was like, me? No, you know. So I just sat down on the stage right in front of her and I just sang right to her. And then at the end I jumped off the stage and I gave her a hug and it was just such a moment, you know. I mean, I can't
That's
even
great.
Yeah, totally
Good.
Surreal.
All right, so the PBS Great Performances series, is this gonna be on that?
Yeah, this Friday night on PBS.
Does it show you hugging her?
No, the hug is not on there.
Poops.
Yeah, she was in the wings watching. They first accepted their award and she gave a speech and she's just hilarious, you know. She's so funny. And she went backstage and sat down and I'm standing there like, you know, getting kind of nervous and waiting for my entrance. And she, you know, waves me in. She leans over and says, you know this song, right?
Oh my God. A little late to ask.
Yeah, and I said, yes, I do.
So
I know it very well. And so, it, you know, just such a great moment. I can't wait to see it on TV because this was like this. We taped this back in April. So it's been a long time to wait for this big moment, you know?
I'm trying to think of another band whose style you would fit so seamlessly into. Their music and yours are on the same path pretty much, wouldn't you say?
I would definitely say. I mean, you know, Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship were some of my favorite bands when I was growing up. So, you know, I'm very, I'm intimately familiar with the music, for one thing, and I love it. And, you know, that powerful singing style that Grace had is just, you know, that's right in my...
In your wheelhouse,
in
baby.
In my wheelhouse. Yeah. I was going to say breadbasket. Is
either
that a
one,
thing?
I think we could have... By your stomach.
Usually that's where someone punches you.
Right.
Oh, okay.
In the breadbasket.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how we do it.
Did you have an operation game when you were growing up? Because that's one of the pieces.
Yeah, wrenched ankle.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And of course, you were also in Love, Janis, doing Janis Joplin off Broadway.
Which is, a totally different voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always sang Janis songs. I never thought I sounded like Janis, but they hired me anyway. I didn't know why at the time. But I, through my journey with that, I really learned how to sing. A lot of people think Janis is this screaming singer, but she was extraordinarily soulful and skillful with her voice. She could make all kinds of different sounds. That scratchy sound was like one of her sounds, and
wasn't all that.
No, she had a clear belting sound too, and she could. It probably depended a little bit on how tired she was and how much, you know, whiskey she had drank on any given day. But, like, her voice was very, very incredible. And as a performer, I mean, she was so amazing at such a young age. You know, I was probably older than her when I started doing the show and really learning her whole catalog. And it was such an education for me. And she just knew how to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's always been my dream, and I'll never do it. I started taking vocal lessons a couple years ago, but I can't remember words. Does everybody still use the iPads?
You know,
and one song, the
no,
app?
I a lot of times I'll, like, just print out a piece of paper and, like, old school, and I do it like that. But I don't, I'm really have a strange memory for remembering words. Not, I mean, knock on wood, now I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
Where was I?
You've never blanked, though, in the middle of a show?
Oh, totally.
Have
absolutely.
You? Yeah.
And you just insert something else, right?
Well, sometimes I'll be sitting there, like, going, oh, my God, I don't know the words, I don't know the words, I don't know the words, and then I'll go, and they just come out.
Oh, wow.
It's like muscle memory.
Yeah, it is.
It's like when you think about it, you screw yourself up, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
You know, just let it flow, and it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what's this CD called? Because this is relatively new. This is yours?
This is the Macrodots. This is a recording project that I have with this guy, Zach Smith. He's a producer, guitar player, songwriter that I met in San Francisco. He actually used to be in the band Scandal with Patti Smythe.
Or do you say Smith?
Or do you? I don't know. I think you say Smythe because there's Patti Smith, and you know, there's only could be one of her.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yep. But... So we met when I was living in San Francisco doing Love, Janis, and he came and saw me in the show. You know, my previous records and sound was almost Americana, country-ish, you know, just by nature of the fact that I play guitar and I know about three chords. So my hand, when I grab a guitar, I just automatically play a G chord, and that's what happens, you know. So Zach said, you know, you've got this great rock voice. I want to write some stuff with you and really showcase that. So we started this project, Macrodots. This is our second album, and it's really cool. It's really fun. It's different than what I would write on my own, but yet it's still very me, you know. So
get out of your comfort level, though, a little bit is good to grow.
Yeah,
isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. And these songs, I love these songs so much. I love the songs that Zach and I write together.
We need to take a break, but when we come back, you've agreed to do a song.
But
heavy negotiations, and you finally gave in and said, yeah, I'll do a song. And then also, I know this sounds cruel, but a song that you perform has been picked as the worst song of all time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
unfortunately,
talk about that.
I don't know how to play that.
Oh, all right. Maybe that's for the best.
Maybe
that
I'll sing it for you.
All right. All that's ahead. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Kathy Richardson in studio with us here on WGN.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Cue the the electronic drums. All right, it's Bill Luff, it's Wendy Snyder, Kathy Richardson in the studio with us. And this all started, you were right, we were talking about this off the air. It was a Blender, was it a Blender magazine article in 2004 that they said this is like the worst song ever. And then GQ just reiterated that and said it's still the worst song ever.
But that's
in rock
only out of like 3 million songs, so it's not that big of a deal.
Well, I love this debate because it brings up, you know, the topic of what are some really truly horrible songs. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think really, you know, the song, first of all, it was a number one song and it got super overplayed on the radio. I think, you know, that happens. People get sick of something. But I think also, you know, it was just so the antithesis of Jefferson Airplane. And, you know, Jefferson Airplane was seen as these, you know, revolutionary almost, you know, leading the hippie movement, even though I don't think any of them were actually real hippies. Oh. But they were, that's what they represented to people. And to go all the way to the full opposite spectrum of corporate rock, you know, outside songwriters, all the, you know, cheesy electronics and
totally.
Stuff.
But aren't they making fun of that? Aren't they making fun of the way music turned?
I mean, yes, you could say that, that was a motivation. I think they just wanted hit songs, you know, and Bernie Taupin was one of the co-writers. And
Can't be that bad then.
Well, interestingly, Peter Wolf, the producer, is the one who created the "We built this city." That wasn't part of the song. So that part, I think, is particularly offensive to people's... But it's so hooky, too, at the same time.
It is.
You know, if you get this song in your head, God help you, because it's going to be stuck there for a long time.
I like it. I want it stuck in my head.
Well, when we play it at shows, people go absolutely insane, you know?
Do they really?
It changes the mood in the room. It really does, you know.
I think because from an architectural standpoint, to construct an entire city on rock and roll seems almost impossible.
Well, but, you know, I wouldn't want to live on any other kind of city.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. That's true. All right.
So you have been with Jefferson Starship for the past 8 years.
Yep.
And a special is airing. You fronted Jefferson Airplane for a Grammy salute to music legends. Under the blessing of Grace Slick, and it's going to be on PBS Great Performances series. And when does that air? When's the premiere of that?
This Friday, October 14th at 8 p.m. Central Time.
All righty. And you're going to do a song for us right now?
Sure. Should I do Somebody to Love?
Oh, yeah.
That's the song I sang with the band.
Please do.
I got goosebumps already, and she hasn't even started.
Right.
I was in tune when I bought it. Okay. When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you? Thank you. broke a string.
I almost swore.
I think that's how it's done. I'm sort of like that.
I'm feeling like Grace Slick right now. Are you sure you know that song? Holy moly. Kathy Richardson, the fabulous Kathy Richardson.
Thank you. Good morning.
You just keep getting better.
So good. And leave the guitar because the place that restrings my tennis racket's also to get those guitars. So I can get that done for you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Beautiful job, Kathy.
Thank you so much. Beautiful.
Go to KathyRichardson.com, right?
Yeah.
And watch her tonight, Friday night, October 14th, 8 p.m., PBS, Great Performances. You will be singing that?
Yes, I will be singing that. Also, Jefferson Starship's coming to town in next
month. Oh, they
month.
Are.
November 11th, we'll be at the Horseshoe Casino.
Cool.
With Blue Oyster Cult, and I'm still waiting for to play cowbell with them, so my fingers are crossed. That's going to happen here.
On Don't Fear the Reaper, they'll bring you in for that? Totally. Oh, good.
Great to see you, Cam.
You too. Thanks for having me.
A quick break. Ryan with the news and then more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.